All right.
Okay.
Shut the hell up, dude. No one asked your opinion.
Oh, this intro again?
No. If I do it, what? Is this a thing? Do I do this?
Yeah. If we don't have an intro, you usually just go, shut up. And then that's the intro.
Sounds pretty good to me. I like this intro. All right. Well, then I'll just scrap that and do something else. Give me a second.
I mean, that could be no. The internet. We expanded on it.
No, I feel seen. I don't like it. Fine. Use it. Fine. Whatever. Play music. I don't care. Do I look like I care? I don't care. I have no feelings. I am a robot. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July something.
When, AJ? Second-ish?
Second, May second, third?
I don't know. I might get this up right after we record.
Yeah, sure. Something like that. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Atch Guy. How's it going?
Oh, just great.
Yeah, so everything's fantastic.
I'm not tired or exhausted or fed up with the world or anything.
No. Why would that happen? So, I know. I was just, today's kind of my day of kind of realization that I'm probably not going to Disney World in December. At one point I was feeling okay about that, and now I'm like, that's not looking great anymore, so I don't know.
I was shocked to find out today that the kids are apparently just going to school in September.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, we'll see. I'm glad to get them out of the house. I mean, they need it. Legit, they do.
Yeah, but, sure.
You know, probably no school bus for them, but yeah.
Oh. We'll never went in the school bus.
You did when you were little.
I guess so. I never liked it. I feel like pretty early on we weren't doing the school bus thing for very long.
No, because I drove you for a while.
Well, yeah, once you were able to drive, you drove. Chris drove me, too. I didn't get my license until I was 19.
That's right, because you're real cool.
Yep. You want to talk about Splash Mountain, finally?
Yeah, I guess we can touch on that.
We can reopen that wound. So,
no, it's not a wound. It's fine.
Not wound, but I mean drama. No, I mean, anyways, for people who don't know, I assume everyone knows, they're renaming Splash Mountain and Disneyland and Disney World. They're removing the Song of the South theme, which was an older Disney movie that, you know, had a lot of racist overtones and undertones.
Little Beach.
Right, they're going to turn into a Princess and the Frog theme, which was always kind of like, I think, it was always kind of assumed. I think at one point there even was a leak that, like, somebody, like, designed that as a kind of a blue sky thing.
So, right. So to kind of clarify, like, their petitions for this started in late May, but they had actually already started working on it like a year ago. So it already was going to be a thing.
Right. So it makes sense. And I mean, honestly, I feel like most people actually took this pretty well. All things considered.
I was a little shocked. Yeah.
There's some people that the thing that was driving me the most crazy is so in Disneyland, this is a very easy retheme because Splash Mountain was right next to New Orleans Square in a different land called Carter Country. So now it's just like, okay, well, now it's in New Orleans Square because that movie takes place in New Orleans. So, you know, great. I don't know what that's going to do for the rest of Carter Country. I feel like it's kind of weird if you have a land that's just an unpopular Winnie the Pooh ride.
And I still think the ride can kind of straddle the two lands and act as a nice transition.
Well, they have to call it. Yeah, but what do you call it on the map? You still have to call it Carter Country. Which it's weird that, like, there's a land that, again, is just, like, I feel like that Pooh's not going to be long for the world, I think. But, you know, so in Disney World, is in Frontierland, which is, like, you know, the Western cowboy Indian war kind of a theme thing. And like, I've seen a lot of people, even like some people who I feel like should be smarter being like, oh man, this retheming doesn't make any sense at all because, you know, Princess and the Frog takes place in the South, not in like the frontier.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what else took place in the South? The Song of the South.
Right. Like I was going crazy and like, I like almost like let it get to me. Like I started just like saying this to everybody who was saying this. Cause and like no one else was bringing this point up. I feel like, I feel like everyone was just so used to Splash Mountain being there, they're like, of course this is a Western themed attraction. I'm like, it's not. It has nothing to do with the West at all.
Not at all.
Like, the only reason you think it fits better is because you're used to it being there. There's no difference. I guess that like the biggest difference you could say is that like the time period is a little older. So if that's such a big difference to you that like it went from acceptable to unacceptable, I don't know. But right. That point was weird. Like, you know, it's going to be fine. It'll still like aesthetically fit in mostly fine.
Oh,
in.
Sure.
It's a mountain, not a rocky mountain either. The concept art looks really neat. Like, I like that you have what's that character? The
Mama Odie.
Mama Odie's like tree on the top. They even said like it's not a retelling of the story.
It's a sequel,
right? Which I think is good because I know it's kind of a. I think it's a decent complaint that in the movie it's like Tiana is just a frog the entire time.
Well, so here's a question, though. You know, the obvious thing is, well, we got to have Dr. Facilier in this ride, right? Even though he, you know, spoilers for Princess and the Frog, is no longer living.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's taking
and Ray, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no Ray. Which is, well, he'll have his star, right? That's okay.
Right.
But it's kind of a bummer. But they'll have him in it because he, you know, could just be his spirit or his shadow or whatever. And again, I assume that like it's right before you go over the drop or something.
Yeah,
like
I already
that.
Picture like going up that drop hill and like having his song kick in and all the, right. the shadow demons he summons like going up the hill with you. Yeah. And
I'm taunting you. I wonder like what quality of animatronics we're going to get, because I wonder if are we going to get like the stuff like that new Beauty and the Beast ride in Tokyo Disneyland is getting, or is it going to be?
I think it's
going to
be more Frozen Ever After.
Frozen Ever After.
That seems to be what they like doing in the States lately.
Yeah, I think so. So, I'm sure that the Louie animatronic stuff will be really cool, and they'll still be able to reuse a lot of things from Song of the South, which, like, you know, a lot of that kind of takes place in swampy kind of areas anyway, like the riverboat thing at the end. That's going to fit
in.
That's just
going to be just okay.
Yeah. So
also, I'll be curious to see, because you may not realize this, Mike, but the layouts of the attractions just vary slightly between California and Florida.
Hmm. Was not aware.
So, yeah. So they'll have to kind of work with that a little bit.
Okay. But so I guess, you know, obviously I'm fine with it. This was going to have to happen eventually. It was always weird to me that it ever happened, like in 1990 or whatever it was, or 89, they did make a ride based off that movie, which is already kind of controversial then. My understanding was that there was a re-release in the 80s of Song of the South that did really well, so that's what kind of made them feel comfortable still going ahead with that. But it was always kind of strange. Because, like, even if you look at, like, the backlog of, like, all the classic films that have rides, it's like, here's this one movie that we're embarrassed to show anymore, and it has a major attraction, right?
So, right. I mean, for the longest time, if you'd asked me, like, throughout the 90s, really, what was my favorite ride in Disney World, it was this.
Right.
The first time I rode it was in 1992.
Right, and a lot of people feel that way. And I know, like, you know, it's some consolation that it's going to be the same ride. I know a large part of it is stuff like, you know, the songs and the, you know, try the vultures.
Yeah, it would be a bummer to lose Zippity Doodah, I guess.
The one thing I always liked was the vultures before the drop. I always thought that they were nicely.
Yeah, they're very good.
I mean, you know, well, something different. I mean, almost nothing really ever stays there forever at Disney World or Disneyland. Like, we kind of have this this expectation sometimes that everything is going to last forever. I mean, this Splash Mountain in its original form lasted longer than the original Journey to Imagination ever did, right? And probably zillion. Basically, every Epcot opening day attraction, really.
Yeah.
Every MGMC's opening day attraction. Plus, there was something nice about, like, I wish that Journey to Imagination lasted until, like, the HD phone video era, right? Just so we can have it better documented.
Yeah, so we can get some better video of it.
Right, like, so, you know, like that's a thing. But, yeah, I understand, you know, people being sad. I think the people who are mad are, of course, ridiculous. And there's a lot of, like the other kind of bad faith, stupid argument is, like, oh, Princess and the Frog deserves its own unique ride. I'm like, oh, okay, what does that mean?
I mean, you're like, not going to get a bigger attraction than a retrofit of Splash Mountain. I mean,
right.
That's a huge attraction.
Right, but it's like, oh, she deserves her own ride, her own land. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I mean, Frozen didn't get that. So, like, what do you mean deserve? Like, what is deserve? What is this merit-based system you've developed? I don't know. It's almost like a weird deflection of, see, I actually respect Prince of the Frog so much that I think that this is the belittling thing. It's like, no. Like, obviously, like, this isn't just about giving Princess and the Frog a ride. It's about also solving the problem of what to do with Splash Mountain. Like, that's a part of it. So I think it's just disingenuous acting like it isn't. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's good to have that representation of, I mean, again, mm-hmm. we love that movie. That's a great movie. So yeah, I like seeing it. Fantastic
movie.
Plus, it means we'll probably get beignets in Disney World, Magic Kingdom now. So that's something. But I'm excited to see it. I'm still not going to go on it, but I'm excited for the ride-through videos.
Yeah, you'll watch all the YouTube videos.
So the one thing I do wonder is, like, because we know, like, they're scaling back a lot of other projects because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you always feel like, where did the money for this come from? Is this the thing that's like, yeah, Spaceship
Earth well, it's refurb not, is not like, happening like for a while? Who knows when they'll start it? I mean, they've even said when the parks reopen, it's, you know, Splash Mountain's still going to be there.
Right. I guess it kind of, yeah. Probably.
I wonder if this was something they were going to sit on for a while, but kind of mm-hmm. given the world climate, they're like, well, we can say we're doing this and kind of contribute to the conversation a bit here, because it is a positive thing.
I wonder what's if there's gonna be anything next. Do you think Jungle Cruise is gonna be okay for like forever, or do you think someday so that's gonna get reworked a bit?
Like, what would you even do to it? I mean, if the movie does well, it could do, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean rock thing, I guess. Yeah,
you throw the Rock in there, but like, you know, I imagine some of that maybe doesn't flow quite as well. Just the, like, you know, representations of indigenous people and stuff like that. Is Trader mm-hmm. Sam himself problematic? I don't know, right? Like, right. I need somebody who knows more about it, or who, you know, just I need smarter people to educate me on some of these things, or people of those ethnicities, you know? Yeah. So that's the important thing, is just always listening, always learning. And, you know, it's going to be fine. There's still Splash Mountain. I'm sure it's still going to be called Splash Mountain, too. You know, nothing sacred. Yeah, I think so. I mean,
named after the 1984 smash hit movie, yeah, Splash.
Did they call it a splash hit? That would have been good.
Yeah, that would be obvious marketing, huh?
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, that's the thing, right? As soon as they got rid of Journey into Imagination, well, nothing's sacred anymore. So you can't surprise me.
I mean, there are people who are still upset that the Maelstrom is gone.
That one still right? baffles me. Because, yeah, that one comes up all the time. And, like, that's the other thing I heard. Like, the other, like, point, like, oh, man, I'll be okay with this, especially as long as they don't, like, rush it or do a bad job. Like, oh, yeah? That's your, yeah. I guess as long as they don't do a bad job, it'll be okay. Thanks for that wonderful insight.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But, yeah, no, like, duh, I hope they don't put another Maelstrom. What do people think? Maelstrom, I don't know. Maelstrom, I think, is a ride that you only love if you have gone to Disney World a zillion times. Because no one, like, thinks that much of the Maelstrom like, the
could
first
you imagine,
time they do it.
Could you imagine, like, 6 years ago, a friend of yours who's never gone to Disney World, and they're going for, like, 3 days. They're like, well, I want to see, like, the good stuff. You know, I'm going to be in Epcot and Magic Kingdom. What should I see? Are you really going to say, well, make sure you go see the Maelstrom? Because, right. boy, let me tell you.
Right. That was just,
when you go backwards and go down that 6-foot hill, man, oh, man.
Yeah, like, Maelstrom was fine, but, like, man, people acting like that was some kind of, like, classic that, like, was, like, it was so unjust what happened to Maelstrom. Like, what are you people talking about?
Right?
Maelstrom was, like, the definition of, like, oh, I forgot that was there, right? Like, I liked it, too. I went on it, but, gee, like, people act like, you know, that was the big tragedy. Like, you know what? Like, Frozen Raptor's better. It's better than Maelstrom, okay?
Yeah.
It is. It's longer, it's more cohesive, it has better effects. It's just better. All right, getting away from the parks, so what have you been playing, Edge Guy?
The Last of Us.
Which one?
The Last of Us.
Gosh, not part two.
No. I finally am trying to finish it because I never did. I just bumped it down to easy and I'm going through.
Just going story mode.
More or less. I mean, I've died once. remind me, maybe you don't remember. You can't just like reload when you want to in that game, right?
You can, I think.
What's the button? Because I
it's
pushed
the same
them
button
all.
As the shoot button. It's just when you're not looking down the sights. At least that's what it is in 2. I think it was the same.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't even think to try that.
It's R2, I think. Does that sound right?
Well, maybe I'll have to try it. Yeah, maybe. I don't think I did that because I didn't want to like just shoot a gun off while nothing's going on in case something scary happened. But anyway, yeah, you know, that game is still turns out pretty good.
Yeah, almost like part of me is curious to even just see what it looks like again after playing the sequel for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure like the visual fidelity is not there.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
Better in your head than it was and all that. But I'm in Pittsburgh right now. To not spoil too much, I just slept during the day and woke up at night to go do a thing.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had no idea how far I was or how much I had left in the game.
You're not very far. That's not very far.
I was gonna say because I got to, like, an upgrade bench, and I'm like, oh wow, like nothing's upgraded very much at all. I must have a long way to go.
Yeah, you have a bits to go. Yeah, I'm 10 hours into Last of Us Part 2, it's weird because, like, whenever I'm playing the game, I enjoy it. It's kind of like when I'm not playing the game, and, like, I think about it, I'm like, here's this problem, and here's this thing I don't really like. And it's like kind of like a weird, you know, depressing, oppressive game. Do I really want to be playing that? But then when I'm, like, playing it, I, like, play it for hours at a time and don't usually stop. Sure. Yeah, so it's obviously good. I mean, the Naughty Dog-ness of it is incredible. Like, you know, the animation, just the way it looks. Like, it's hard to imagine PlayStation 5 launch games are going to somehow look better than The Last of Us Part 2, right?
Right.
Like, that's, like, you know, it'll load faster is basically, like, the difference. Maybe, like, the lighting, I guess. I don't know, but it's certainly, like, incredible, like, you know, craftsmanship and all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, it is pretty clear to me. I'm like, I'm certainly more of an Uncharted guy just in terms of, like, tone and aesthetic and just kind of, you know, I'd rather go on, like, a largely lighthearted adventure with kind of moments of darkness and seriousness as opposed to something that's really dark and serious with moments of levity, right?
Sure, sure.
And not too many moments of levity at that, I guess I should say. But, yeah, it's good. Like, I am kind of worried. Like I'm 10 hours into it. And I kind of feel like I wish I was close to the ending, and it's clear that I'm not. So, and I know some people
games are too long, Mike.
Well, maybe not all games are too long. This game might be too long.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I don't know. We'll see. I feel like there's something that everybody talks about that's going to happen. That's like upsets some people, or people have opinions about it. So I'm curious to see that. But the weird thing is that, like, I usually like to just play through a game before I really pick up something else, at least on the same platform. Like, I'll usually work through, like, one console / like PC single player game at a time and, like, one Switch game at a time. But I actually kind of had to stop because I got the review code for Ghost of Tsushima. Ooh. So I'm playing that instead. I'm not allowed to say anything about it except that I have it. So that's where that ends. But yeah, I had to stop playing Last of Us for the other big Sony game. It's weird how close these two are with each other.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting here waiting for Paper Mario.
Jeff, never mind. Paper Mario's coming.
Jeff is also waiting for Paper Mario.
Yeah, Jeff's waiting for Paper Mario. I don't know. I'm scared about Paper Mario. I think it's going to be more like Color Splash than I thought it was.
Yeah, we'll see. The kids are excited.
Well, I'm sure the kids are going to like it. You're going to have a lot of fun reading it to them, too.
Well, I've explained to them that, and we'll see if they actually understand this when the time comes, that this is one that Dad plays and they'll watch and can help me with some stuff.
There you go. But, I mean, I still don't understand why we can't just go back to, like, a party-based traditional RPG with that series. But
probably whatever. Harder to make.
Well, that might be true. Nintendo's going to have to start announcing some stuff for the fall here soon, right?
You would think.
Like, there's nothing.
You would think.
As far as I know.
Well, how's that Min Min treating you?
Yeah, Min.
And Smash Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. We played some Smash Bros. With Min Min. She's your kind of character, I know.
Kind of spammy, kind of ranged attacks.
I mean, well, she's simple, which is good for your dumb ape brain. But no, I mean, I like that, though, about her. Like, it's not, she doesn't have, like, she's not super complicated like a Terry from Final Fight, right? Like, that's nuts. It's relatively simple, and it is very much like it is in ARMS, where you have the two arms, and you can, like, the B button, instead of being like a special move, it's just one of the other arms, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. You do smash attacks with it and stuff.
Yeah. No, I think she's a lot of fun. I like playing her. I think it's a good thing that she's able to be kind of simple, but also still feel very unique, right? Like, that's kind of a hard thing to do.
If you're complaining about sword characters in the game, she's definitely not that.
She is definitely not another Fire Emblem character. That is true.
Yeah.
But no, that's fine. And we were having fun playing. I like her. The stage is great just because, I mean, the ARMS music is fantastic.
Yes, it does have a good soundtrack. And they have, like, all of it in the game, don't they?
Yeah. Pretty much. It is weird just, like, because there's five more characters left. And it's like, man, what's coming? Because, I mean, it could be anything at this point. It's just so hard to tell.
Gina.
I mean, that is like the last one for me where I would lose my mind if it happened.
Right.
Because I already got Mega Man.
I feel like it's been so loud for so long. Like, to not do it at this point is either like it's really fucked up with the rights, which shouldn't be that big an issue.
There's already the fighter outfit.
Right. So. And so then it's like, now you're just being a dick then. Like, just do it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't know. But now maybe, like, the problem is, like, oh, we're going to really sell fighter passes from this character from this super old game that was never in anything else. If it's
1 of 6, sure. Mm. Probably.
I hope so. But, I mean, you imagine
who's still playing a lot of Smash Brothers at this point who doesn't want a complete roster?
A complete roster? Oh, I know.
Like, could you imagine, like, playing the game?
It's
like, well, I don't need
the characters themselves. It's just...
Like, just having it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Again, I mean, I just don't know what other characters you would even throw in from third parties anymore. And I'm sure there are some. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see Crash Bandicoot get in there, especially with his new game coming out.
Crash 4 coming, yeah, that makes sense.
I'd be pretty excited about Crash Bandicoot.
That's not coming to Switch, though, right? Crash 4?
No, but I mean, Insane Trilogy didn't come to Switch at first, either. But maybe this is different. Maybe, I don't know, something about this is more complicated. I don't know. But, I mean, Crash is on Switch, which is what you can say about... Joker.
So,
yeah, right. Have you bought Persona 4 yet?
No.
Wow, come on. It's a new game for you to play like 3 hours of, talk about it enthusiastically, and then never touch again.
That's right.
Get hacked. Get seen. How seen are you right now?
No, don't see me.
Yeah. I'm also, I did get code for CrossCode for Switch.
What now?
CrossCode is this indie game. It's been out... on like PC since 2018 officially. I think it was in early access for a while. It's really cool. It's a kind of a top-down action adventure RPG thing. It's like one of those games where it's like it's set inside an MMO, but it's not an MMO. So it kind of has some of those trappings, but you know, it's more story focused and a bit more structured. But still, like, you know, it still has a lot of good RPG mechanics and stuff like that. It's pretty clever. It's very fun.
Cool. I got a. You played Slay the Spire?
I haven't. I know I should, and everyone likes it.
It's on Game Pass. I've played it on PC before, but it came to iPhone. I was like, oh, that could be like a good iPhone game to play, right? Okay. So
yeah, sure.
I dropped my $10 on it. What a terrible phone port.
Yeah.
Like, it's fixable. But like, so you know, in Hearthstone, you have your deck, and if you hold your finger on a card on the phone, it pops up so you could read the text, right?
Yeah.
The cards in Slay the Spire pop up, but they're still under your finger, so you can't read it.
Oops.
And then, like I'm trying to, like, drag it where I could read it, and I'm constantly, like, accidentally casting things I didn't mean to, and, like, just wasting turns, and, like, why is this playing so bad? Why did they not figure out the touch controls on a card game? Like, I feel like that's been pretty well established for a while now.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rough.
The game's still good. It's just not a good mobile port. Very odd.
I kind of had a preview. It was like one of those, like, done over like a Zoom call thing or Skype or something of that Airborne Kingdom. Do you remember that from like the PC gaming show? It showed up for a little bit.
No, I didn't see the PC gaming show, but I saw your article, and it says basically like Howl's Moving Castle meets like Civ.
Well, it's like Howl's Flying Castle.
That's what I meant.
Right, yeah. So it's like a bit of a Civ, or even like just like base building and something like a Warcraft, right? Like, you need to send people out for resources, and you're kind of like building buildings, and like, so you can like unlock new like tech trees, and it's like important to have like enough houses for everybody. But like, it's your city's like flying, so everything's connected to each other, and you have to worry about like the tilt of the city and like the lift and the speed. And all these things. It's really cool looking too, because like, you're flying over this map, and like the map will like the world like looks like a map, right? It'll have like the place names and that fancy font and stuff like that. This is really pretty game, and it looks super fun. Like, I like those kind of like city builders that aren't just like not super simmy like Sim City, but that are a bit more strategy based, I guess. Like, this seems fun.
You got like into the Anno series for a little while.
I did like Anno. Anno was like very. Kind of like build these so you can then do that kind of thing. It's almost Viva Pinata-ish in a way.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked it a lot. Cool. What else had you got?
more Elder Scrolls, more Dauntless, more Hearthstone. Yeah. I was having a terrible run of luck in the Battlegrounds and finally got a first place win with a Murloc. I played Maiev. Have you played her yet?
Yeah. She's a...
Oh, she's so fun. One gold. You, what's the word they use?
Dormant. You make a thing dormant.
You make a minion dormant for 2 turns, and when it awakens, it gets a one buff, and you get it. So it's like you pre-buy for 1 gold.
Yeah.
On something. So it's pretty nice. Yeah, I missed the part when I first read about her that you got the minion. I thought it just woke up with a buff, then you could buy it. And I was like, that's dumb.
No, it's pretty cheap. Yeah, it's efficient. You can kind of make gold with it in a way.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, like nothing else. Like just do it so that you could just get something and sell it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's fun. Yeah, I've still been playing a lot of Battlegrounds. I got my Mecha Gnome Heritage Armor, so I think I'm just about all alted up in terms of my alts. I don't think I need to level another one. Maybe once like the big leveling like shakeup happens where it's completely different how you do it, it might be fun.
Yeah.
But I think I've got enough to choose from for potential characters for the next expansion along with my free boost.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I still have a boost too, actually.
Oh, you still have a boost?
Yeah, I got a boost from pre-ordering Shadowlands.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What are you going to boost?
I don't know yet. Cool. I want
an alliance character.
It's going to be either a paladin or a priest. I just don't know what yet.
Well, I know that Shadow Priest was in a rough place, so.
Well, yeah, but the whole, or the other one.
Paladin? Oh, Discipline.
Discipline Priest is supposed to be super good. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of depend, like, because whatever one I don't boost is the one I'll level in, like, the Shadowlands pre-patch.
Sure, yeah. So you almost want the.
So I got to decide which one I want to actually level and which one I
just
have.
Leveled a priest. It was okay. It kind of got more fun towards the end because, like, you can't really. It's hard to level up as Discipline because Discipline doesn't really, like, come together until you have all the pieces, I feel like.
Right.
And Shadow's just a little weird. It's kind of a weird spec because it's so much about like building up to like that burst period, which is kind of a weird thing to do when you're leveling and like just kind of fighting mobs and stuff.
Right.
It's like a dot class, but like the dots aren't super strong. It's not like you're playing Affliction Warlock. So
I don't know. I'm excited. I was reading some of the changes coming to Enhancement Shaman.
Shaman.
Yeah, it's a big rework, and I'm very excited because Shaman's been rough.
That's what I'm probably maining if I get my way. Is my Dark Iron Shaman?
Aren't you cool, copycat?
Copycat. You're the one who needs to main something else. I resisted for so long. Like now, I want to main. This is my character. This is my first ever character, and I'm going to keep playing him. It's fun to change it up.
I got my Demon Hunter. I got my Rogue. We'll see.
Yeah, I haven't touched that
one. Are you prepared to pay $70 for NBA 2K1?
I mean, not for that game.
So do you think, because there's two conclusions everyone's jumped to, is all next-gen games are $70, or it's just NBA because that franchise is notoriously predatory in its financial practices?
I don't know. I mean, if it was going to happen, you'd do it when, you know, the next generation thing starts. There is some weirdness about it because we know about, like, smart delivery, so like
that's what I said. Like, does that mean like are like Xbox One games gonna be $70 to like make smart delivery have parity, or will Xbox like Microsoft games be cheaper since they just figure you're gonna get Game Pass anyway? They won't care. Like,
there's a lot of weird questions about it, like how you do it, but I mean, it's no secret that games have been $60 for a long time. I mean, they were $60 or more for depending on the game and where you bought it from. And then 50 became the standard for a bit.
Well, a lot of the reason older cartridge-based games had wild prices and why it was usually RPGs is because they had the bigger ROM chips in them. So you were actually paying for the cartridge, not necessarily the game at that point.
Yeah, now we're paying for dev costs and stuff. And these games are way more expensive to make and stuff like that. So, I mean, I can understand a person maybe, you know, I'm not expecting anyone to be happy they have to pay $10 more for a game. I don't see how you can really be, like, indignant about it, I guess.
I guess, like, there's two bad optics to it to me. First of all, now is not the time to be talking about things getting more expensive in the world, you know? But I feel like once you, like, $70 starts to mentally round up to 100 in a way that 60 doesn't.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, I still think people kind of, I think there's some, as unenthusiastic as I've been about human intelligence lately, I feel like I don't think that people are going to suddenly start thinking that much worse about $70 as opposed to $60. Like, I don't think it's going to have an industry-changing effect.
You'll have more people. I mean, you know, obviously, your Call of Duties are safe. People just buy those regardless. But I feel like, what's an example? That game that Arkane's releasing for PS5.
What game?
You're the guy. You die. You're born again.
Oh, there's sure. Maybe that's still a $60 game. I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm gonna say, like, I don't think you buy that for $70. You at least wait three weeks till it goes on sale.
See, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to be like, oh, a person would have bought this game for $60, but not this game for. We've been having games that cost like $40. Like Star Wars Squadron's going to be a $40 game, right?
Right. Right.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just like maybe $70 is gonna be a new like high point, but maybe there's gonna be more ranges. Going on
maybe,
from here
maybe.
On out.
Maybe, I mean, ranges so, I could be good.
But I mean, that's again, true. We're speculating all based on the one game listing that we've had. So right. It's like, who knows? But my point is just that if I still stand by, if 70 was the new normal instead of 60, like again, like it was a long time coming.
And you think Evo's gonna survive?
No, it's canceled. What are you talking about?
I mean, like in the future.
Oh, I mean, I don't. Sure, someday, maybe. I don't know. Maybe something else will pick up instead.
Yeah.
Not a good day for Evo.
You want to sum it up?
Yeah, their president was accused of kind of child sexual predatory stuff. So first he was kind of put on like leave, and then everyone got mad. Said like, unless he's we're just pulling out. So then, like just a little bit ago before we recorded this, they said, okay, well, now he's gone, and also we're just canceling the show because like Capcom had pulled out, Bandai Namco had pulled out, NetherRealm. Yeah. Everyone had pulled out. No one's feeling good about it. Like, on top of all this, there was a bunch of stuff that happened in the Smash community today with, again, sexual abuse stuff.
Yeah, so. Chris mentioned that. I didn't find that story yet. What happened there? Big players or something?
Yeah, it's just, players are being creeps and stuff like that.
Yeah, what's with all these assholes?
Well, I think...
The director of Assassin's Creed Valhalla had to step down. Like, what is going on?
The Smash Bros. Community, I bet, has it's probably. I can see how it could fester there. It's because they've been self-governing themselves forever, and they were basically, especially like when it started, they're basically just all like practically children, right? And some of them, like,
I feel like, I wonder if Nintendo is like, oh, maybe we should have been doing this from the beginning because look what it's become.
Maybe they're super happy that they're not involved with it because then they don't have to say anything.
I guess there's also that side too.
But I mean, problem.
But like, it is by association.
It's not good optics for them for sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're not happy about it. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they do need to just go in there and clean it up. But at the same time, ruin it by requiring items. Maybe this is their chance to
hit the reset button and be like, okay, we're taking this over.
Right. So, I don't know. It's it's been a bad look for the fighting game community this week. And I don't know where it goes from here. I mean, it's a weird thing anyways, because like they already just took a hit from COVID and then like this happens.
Right, like
too.
This Evo is going to be like online only. And then like it was funny because so many of the games were Western because the Japanese games all have such bad net code.
Right, right. So that's that. It's been just more things just keep on happening. I'll tell you what, things aren't slowing down anytime soon. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nah, I think that's about it.
All right. Well, make sure you do listen to our new episode of 90s Disney, which is all about Blizzard Beach. I thought that was a lot of fun. So
you can find out how to make a blue Blizzard margarita.
That's
which
true.
Which is delicious.
Yeah, search for 90s Disney and all your podcast places, or just go to 90sDisney.com to check out that show. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, and we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
That was awkward.
Made it work. Nah, not really.